सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
वेलकम टू सोच विचार।
हैव यू एवर थॉट अबाउट इट? व्हाट इज द प्रिवेलिंग नैरेटिव और द नैरेटिव दैट इकोनॉमिक पॉलिसी फॉलोज नाउ इन पाकिस्तान? इफ यू हैवंट, आई एडवाइज यू टू सीरियसली थिंक अबाउट इट। Whether you like it or not, every country has a prevailing narrative on economics, and from that narrative derives economic policy. Long ago, Keynes talked about how all manner of policymakers, including madmen and practical politicians, and people who thought themselves to be pragmatic, all the so-called policy pundits, followed a narrative of some scribbler of the past. Unless we continuously look at our narrative, there is a danger that we will be following a scribbler of the past. And in this podcast, I wish to talk about that. So let's look at it. What is the prevailing narrative of economic policy or economic thinking in Pakistan? If you look at our newspapers or follow our TV anchors every day, the sense that I get is in roughly 4 points. One is that for growth, we need external assistance. We cannot manage it ourselves. We need somebody from outside to come and do it. Two is that growth will be delivered by mega projects that the government has dreamt up in its mandate to get re-elected. None of these projects have been vetted technically or thought through for the long-term potential benefit. The third element is that our fiscal policy or macroeconomic stability is paramount. Yes, of course, this is something that the whole world agrees to. This is motherhood and apple pie. Nobody can disagree with it. But the strategy for attaining this macroeconomic stability is to get our fiscal house in order, which again cannot be quibbled with much. But the fourth element is, how do we get our fiscal house in order? And here the narrative is very straightforward and simple. We have to increase our tax revenue. Our revenues are too low, and no matter what we do, whether we plunder, whether we put in arbitrary tax proposals, whether we tax milk, whether we tax internet, whether we tax school fees, whether we tax mobile cell phones twice over, thrice over, whether we tax petroleum three times, four times over, the imperative is to get more revenues. Revenues, no matter how. These are the four elements of our economic policy. Tell me if you agree. What is missing? What is missing is, there is hardly any emphasis on growth. There used to be a time, we used to be a high growth country in the world. There used to be a time when we used to grow at 6-7%, and India was growing at a lower rate of 2-3%. There used to be a time when Korea and the rest of the world looked at us. Since then, our growth rate has come down to an average of 3-4%. And now, when we have 4-5%, our leaders are actually claiming a great victory. 3-4% in a country like Pakistan is considered to be a great victory, because we don't have a focus on growth. This was my refrain when I was at the Planning Commission. I said it many times in forums, on television. We're a country that doesn't want growth. Yet, when we did an analysis at the Planning Commission, it showed us that our demographics are such. We have a very young population. Everybody knows that. Half our population is literally under the working age. That population is gradually going to grow up, look for a job, and want employment in the coming 20 to 30 years. If we are to provide them employment, and the alternative is very bad, because in the alternative, if we don't provide them employment, they will think of other nasty things like crime or terrorism, etc. So we must provide them employment. If we are to provide them employment, rudimentary analysis or econometric modeling will show you we require at least 8% growth per annum. And that not for 1 year, for 20 years consistently, maybe 30 years consistently. So our economy must grow at over 8% for the next 20, 30 years. Yet, we don't think of growth. And we think of these four elements that I mentioned. Aid, projects, mega projects of a political nature, macro stability through crunching the deficit. You can have macro stability and fiscal deficits and a fiscal deficit reduction strategy intelligently, or you can crunch the deficit. Or the fourth element, tax more. I recall telling a story a long time ago in an article that I wrote, and I think it's worth repeating. If you go back, many of you have heard this before, but if you go back and look at British history, a famous hero of the Middle Ages was Robin Hood. Robin Hood's heroism lay in the fact that he resisted the arbitrary taxation policy of the Sheriff of Nottingham. And all of us have read stories of Robin Hood or seen episodes of Robin Hood on television where we applaud the fact that Robin Hood repeatedly defeats the sheriff's arbitrary taxation policies. Yet now our donor partners as well as the policy thinkers think that arbitrary taxation is the way forward to gaining revenues, much like the Sheriff of Nottingham. Why is it that we applaud Robin Hood and the donors expect us to follow them in this arbitrary taxation policy? Okay, let's step back. First of all, we need a growth narrative. And we've done two or three programs on this, and we'll do more. Growth cannot and will not happen through mega projects alone. Many books, many articles, much research, many of you have read about it, has shown that growth mostly happens when the software of growth is built right, i.e. when the legal frameworks, the institutions, the way the country is reined is in keeping with what is required by investors, by consumers, by people to value economic transactions. That's when growth happens. Mega projects are required. Nobody is saying they're not required. Infrastructure is always required. But infrastructure alone will not deliver you the high growth rate, because growth is really a productivity phenomenon. And productivity will only be increased once you've got the institutional architecture and other things right. Many countries have tried to build infrastructure and failed. Case in point, the Soviet Union. Secondly, aid alone will not do it, because aid will not back an institutional change. Aid will not back the development of the software. Aid is too focused on hardware, because aid has to also think about financial first. So that is not the answer too. The fiscal deficit is a problem and should be fixed, but there are intelligent ways to fix the fiscal problem. There are dumb ways to fix the fiscal problem. Many of you might have heard about the debate in Greece, in Europe, since 2008. Europe went into a tailspin in 2008, or I should say the world went to a tailspin in 2008. The world economy had a severe crash, out of which even today we are not recovering, or recovering relatively slowly. People call it the Great Recession. Greece suffered the most, and IMF strategy in Greece, the stabilization strategy in Greece, came under a lot of criticism, and the IMF eventually kind of accepted it, as well as in some other countries, that too harsh a fiscal adjustment leads to austerity. The term austerity is very interesting to think through. The term austerity does not have an Urdu translation, or I should say an appropriate Urdu translation. In some cases it is said it's kafayatshwari, in some cases it's said sadgi, but that's not it. Because austerity means where you're forced to cut back on necessary expenditures. So, for example, when you cut back on fiscal expenditures and you find that you're cutting back on education expenditures, on infrastructural maintenance expenditures, on human capital management strategies in the public sector, on all elements where your productivity increases in the economy. So when the public sector, for example, cuts back expenditures rapidly, like it has done in Pakistan. In Pakistan, for example, if you look at it, in most government departments now, Once salaries are paid, operational expenditures are cut down to almost nothing. Police has no money for bullets, putting petrol in cars. Schools have no money for buying equipment. Railways has no money for buying signals or maintaining their tracks. Our policy in Pakistan has been austerity, where we are crunching the fiscal expenditures, expanding the fiscal scope, but crunching fiscal expenditures so that most departments can only meet the wage bill. Operational expenditures are being crushed down to negligible amounts. When you have wage bills that are expanding and operational expenditures are being cut down, by definition, productivity comes down because human beings alone are not able to produce anything. You need some money, some equipment, some travel expenses, some work expenses, some whatever, all those things, research expenses. And we don't have those in our departments. Education departments, for example, don't have research funding, don't have even funding to buy professors. That is one side of austerity thinking. The other side is when we have arbitrary taxation. When you are taxing mobile phones, for example, you tax them three or four times so that 60-40% of mobile phone bills are taxation. When you have electricity bills, where you are paying income tax through them. When you are paying taxes on all manner of things, including school fees, milk, internet, etc. What does this mean? This means that productivity everywhere is affected. Because you have distorted pricing so much, you've distorted the work of people so much that productivity declines. At the same time, the uncertainty on the tax side, when the government hungry for taxation will seize on any opportunity, investor sentiment becomes cautious. So, for example, recently the government arbitrarily, without thought, put in a real estate transaction tax. This morning I saw in a newspaper that real estate prices have collapsed in the country. So what is my proposal? I think quite frankly, we need a comprehensive review of our economic narrative. We need a vigorous debate in our universities amongst our thinkers. And the donors should stand away. Let us have the debate or engage with us in the debate. The donors' superior attitude that they know it all and they can't engage with us, this is wrong. If they are going to be our partners, they must be our partners. We must talk to them. We must engage it as equals. This current strategy is all wrong. The new strategy, the outlines of which I can point out, but we need to debate this a lot more. Our first focus is growth. We must have a comprehensive growth strategy based on software development. Here I would talk about the framework of economic growth, but I leave it something else. The whole intent of framework of economic growth was to increase productivity through software development. Next, we must have a clever fiscal retrenchment or fiscal management strategy that has to be based on intelligent expenditure cutting. That has to be based on intelligent reform in the public sector to ensure that productivity comes first, human capital management comes first, and arbitrary tax expenditure cutting or tax raising is wrong and should not be allowed. Third, we should have a very comprehensive review of our tax policy towards simplification, consolidation, not arbitrary taxes, but two or three taxes. Ikram ul Haq has done some very good work in this. We should take it up, discuss it further, move on. Third, we should look at business environment. Cost of doing business surveys are there. There are other elements. How do we clean out a business environment? Develop better markets. Right now, our markets are cartelized, oligopolized. We must review that. We must look at the industrial organization structure of our economy. Fourth, we must give weight to the development of cities and retail industry and service industries, because service is the leader of growth. Let us not ignore it. Let us try and make it happen. We have been running for real sectors for too long, but that I'll leave for later. So I thought, we'll just have a brief review of this. I'll wait for your comments and maybe take this up again later at another session. Thank you. I hope Soch Bichar is making sense. Do let me know. Do comment on it on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you like. There's a Facebook page of Soch Bichar. Please join it. All the best.
सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।